It'll be like our own shocked and applaud thing. We'll all get Bill tattoos.
Jen doesn't do needles.
Oh, okay. Well, the two of us can do them.
We can get them on our ass. Because he's all about butts.
Tramp stamp of Bill the cat.
Could you live with that?
These are the things that come up in the YouTube captions. Stabilizing angler tutor. Anal the tutor. Hey there, tutor. See your daughter.
That's stupid. Auto YouTube captions and auto TikTok captions are garbage.
But still, it was kind of funny because Opus is just like, he's like, where is this
Ayla tutor?
Where is the starboard Ayla tutor? Where is it? And he says it over and over and over again. And I even like looked up the general flight manual for the Douglas DC-3. I couldn't find it anywhere in there.
There's no Ayla tutor. That's the funny part. It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. Did you find something about the movie, Jen?
Yeah, I can't find anything about awards and box office to find out how big of a movie this was. British diplomat Robert Conway and a small group of civilians crash land in the Himalayas and are rescued by the people of a mysterious Eden-like valley of Shangri-La. Protected by the mountains from the world outside where the clouds of World War II are gathering, Shangri-La provides a seductive escape for the world-weary Conway.
But this is the crash landing part, which is never comfortable.
I mean, it's sort of like prophetic in because of what's going on with Santa. It's like he can feel the temperature change in the air in his dream, and he senses that Santa's going down.
The best part of this scene is what happens when they start to go down, because Opus has tried every which way to figure out what to do, and he ends up going, we're going down. We're going down because penguins can't fly.
Yeah, it was like the longest
setup. I got the joke, though. And 9-year-old me was like, yes, that's hilarious. That's gold. Penguins can't fly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can't fly through the air. Also, nightmare based on personal shortcomings and dreams where you fall, where you wake up from that falling sensation. Uh-huh. I'm just always like, it's a very jarring experience.
Pickles. I also have anxiety dreams about failing, mm-hmm. especially if there's something that I have been super anxious about, really. I'll be like, I had an anxiety dream about applying for a job. I'll have an anxiety dream about not performing well in front of others. I'll have an anxiety dream about embarrassing someone else, which I'm terrified of, you know? Like, it's super dumb, but anxiety dreams are real, and this is where I found out that they're normal. Yeah. God bless Berkeley Breathed. I needed to know that early. I remember my first nightmare. My first rememberable nightmare, and it was about no, it's too dumb. You don't want to know.
I mean, the podcast is already like a decade long.
Okay. My first nightmare was about Beetlejuice as a ghost chasing me onto the top of the house, but I had already poisoned myself by eating KFC chicken legs that had a skull on them, and I should have known they were poisoned.
I think that's a great nightmare.
I was like,
I mean, in the Shocked and Applaud movie,
yeah,
we will have that somewhere. And hopefully we can get like actual Michael Keaton to reprise his role as Beetlejuice.
And our episode on our movie will be like a year and a half long.
So sorry. Jen, I only have a page and a half notes left. Okay.
Okay.
So he's awoken by the dream, right? But then the door knocks.
Right.
And now we have more f***ing ducks, right?
Bully birds need help. So he like runs off outside the door and then his butt falls off?
Yes. Okay. You don't know why it happens.
Right.
Except that it happens all the time in the comic strip.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a running gag.
All right.
His butt just falls off. And I don't know.
They call it his spare tire.
Yes. Yes. And I get that in the context of this, if you only have this, you don't know why his butt falls off. But it just be doing that, though, because, you know, butts be falling off sometimes.
It reminds. OK, so there's this show called The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack. This is tangent 1 million, by the way. But the show Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack, the main character is this like toe-headed little angel of a boy, and his name's Flapjack, and he is obsessed with his hero, who is Captain Knuckles. And there's actually an episode where they have to go look for Knuckles' sitting bottom, and it's like this whole pirate theme, and it's so adorable. And in one episode, they like find out that Flapjack's like adoptive mother, Bubby, who's this whale that they live inside.
I love Bubby.
Yeah. They find out that she spies on people, and she's like, these are my friends. And these are, and then she has like this moment where she kind of like breaks down. It's like, oh, I'm just so sad. And these are the only people that really that I can connect with. It's like a parasocial relationship because she spies on everybody inside the town that they live in, which is like a seaport town. Anyways, then Flapjack says, those aren't your real friends, Bubby. And then Knuckles pulls out this this like jar of maple syrup, and he says, friends come in all sizes. Flapjack takes a swig, shivers a little bit, puts it into his pocket, taps it, is like, oh, friends come in all sizes. And it's like, candy is like so much of an allegory for booze. It's a kid's show. I love it so much, and it terrifies me, but I love it.
I love
Sorry.
That this started with also this character's butt falls off, but also allegories for booze.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
So the birds come to like drag Opus.
Oh, yeah. And he says, this is a hazing ritual. You're going to leave me naked in Albuquerque.
Okay. This is what I get out of this scene, this particular bit of the scene. And I don't know if you identify with this. You can raise your hands. I won't tell the applauders if you do. But who else has experienced the whole birds coming to get help from the depressed? Like, it's been like super sad, and for some reason people come to you for advice. Like, does sadness make you a better advice giver? Nothing.
Like
it happens, right? Like, you're like, well, I'm really depressed and everything stresses me out, and maybe you still get out of bed every day, but like, you're down, and people are still like, hold on, let me lean on you super hard.
I don't get the need for advice. What I get is, hey, Lydia, you know, that moment where I pretty much just tore you to pieces? Well, now I need your help. That's what I get.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's not cool, Lydia.
Yeah, I know.
That's not cool.
Yeah, I don't really do that. I don't allow that to happen anymore. If someone's going to put me down, they're not allowed to ask for help anymore. I just ghost them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have, and in my old age, I'm like, if I'm down, I can't be a support for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe it's taken the better part of 4 decades to get there.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I had to give myself permission to be like, there has to be more support for you. Maybe I can take a second to direct you towards more support, but I cannot be that pillar for you right now. And
right.
That's because I am not in a strengthened place.
Agreed.
Opus, however, is not like that. He's like, yeah, no, sure, I'll help you.
Well, he at first is very suspicious.
Yeah.
But then when he opens up his eyes, because he has his eyes closed,
yeah,
he sees that Santa Claus is in the middle of the pool, and the bully birds are like, we can't go and get him because we can't handle the cold.
He looks and sees Santa sitting on top of his sleigh floating in the water, and his eyes bulge out of his head, and then they slap back and it hurts. So he rubs them real hard. It's a pretty good gag.
It's a good gag. Yeah.
He empties his pockets because he has pockets, although he's a naked bird except for a bow tie. And then he takes off his bow tie. He swims out into the water. He's like, And then he goes back and he grabs his bow tie and he ties it back on. And I think he keeps his aviator hat on him.
Yeah.
And then he swims out to the sleigh.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs the reins and then he swims all the way back. I don't know how one penguin can pull the world's toy. Well, I guess how many Christians are there? Like 2 billion children's worth of toys. That doesn't seem right. Somebody put in better numbers. Well, let's just say millions of toys and a plumpness man, a thick Nord back to shore. And then he like stumbles around. He's like, woof. And like Santa walks away to like his reindeer and stuff. And he's like, trying to figure himself out. And then he like walks over to him and he's just like, he brushes his hair back into his feathers back in a very relatable manner where it's like, well, I did the thing expected of me. I guess I did a thing. And Santa gets real close and I don't like it. If I can feel your breath on me and you are not Jen, then I don't want it.
But we are coming to the moral of the story. And at one point, Opus says he has wings that sputter. And he was repeating something that the bully birds had pretty much said to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Santa Claus says, I don't see any wings that sputter. I only see someone whose courage was greater than those than others.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that. He also says, hey, you lost your hat. And I'm paraphrasing because he says everything poetically. And he stops leaning in close at that point, which is nice. And he's like, hey, I see that you've lost your hat. I would be honored if you wore mine, which I think is the better thing that he says in this moment.
Hey, hey, Opus.
What's up? What's up?
Hey,
Santa.
Are
you the counselor?
I'm the counselor.
Okay, good.
Okay. Opus. You are the only one built to save Santa in the middle of an icy lake. You are a hero.
All of it fits in the first little part of the Enya song. So good.
Do you know what another name for a swimming penguin is? A torpedo in tuxedo.
So Opus is surrounded by ducks, still referenced as full seagulls in my notes. And Santa's like, he holds out his arms and he's like, you will fly, you will fly, you will fly. And Opus like waves his wings and he's like, yeah, fly, fly, fly. And then he gets get excited. They cut to Bill's face and Bill's face goes like as wide as his squinty little eye will go. And his big eye is like super big. And he's like, ah, and his mouth opens wide. And the happiness on Bill's face, seeing Opus get excited about Santa encouraging him about being able to fly, is just one more reason.
Mm-hmm.
Bill is the best. Okay, so he goes to bed and wakes up with the Santa Claus hat on.
Christmas morning.
Yes. He climbs out of bed, maybe to a knock at the door. I can't remember. He opens it up. And there's a platoon of whom I still call at seaholes. Nope. You don't have to blur it if I say seaholes.
No, I thought you were going to say asshole seagulls again.
Here in the nth hour, I came up with the actual thing I should have called them this whole time. So feel free to leave it in the comments. Plus, they're ducks.
But they're also wearing bow ties.
All of them are wearing
bow ties.
Yes. The little Opus's signature red bow tie.
And then they grab up Opus and they lift him up and they're like running with him. And I think they start like they're like running to do a takeoff.
Yes.
Because he eventually starts flying.
Well, they fly him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like one supporting his butt
and
then like they hold up his wings and then they like trade off a whole bunch. And he's like, hey, you guys, who suggested that I come and help Santa last night? And they're like, wah, I can't do the voices, but like, they're like, hey, it was Bill. And he's like, Bill, I'm flying for you too, buddy.
Yeah. And okay, this is my last note to Opus as counselor. Thank you for including Bill, but Opus, you should really apologize to Bill.
We're so horribly out of tune with each other.
My throat is wrecked from all this laughing, and I can't. I have harmony. Just don't like Shane listen to this. It'll be fine. Okay, so we do cut across George, who says, oh, I forget what he compares him to, but he goes, you suck up an albatross.
Yeah, I think the chicken talks about, like, make sure you're not getting sucked up into the wing.
Yes, and he's like, suck up an albatross.
Suck an albatross. And Bill has two cans, one on either leg now.
Yes. Okay. So then we cut to credits where.
Right.
What was Robin Williams' name?
Pseudonym.
Pseudonym. Hurts and yet glorious. Probably glorious. My favorite thing I've ever heard that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I only found out today that it was actually him and I've suspected it for years.
Yeah.
We do have a post-credit screen.
Yes. Go for
it. Not a post-credit screen. A
post-credit scene.
Yes. And that is Truffle. And I can't remember what he does because it's been like 3 hours since we watched it.
Okay, so we did miss what the cockroach says when...
I wrote it down.
Yeah.
I couldn't read it because I wrote it in cursive. But like, yeah. He goes, so unnatural. And his boob falls out of his shirt. Love Milk Toast. I could order fan art of Milk Toast. I would put that on my wall. Also a reoccurring character in Opus. Also not always a cross-dressing cockroach in crisis.
Okay. I just don't know how to, like, feel about it. It's funny because cross-dressers, like, I feel like the joke is a bit homophobic.
Okay, so he's not presented ever as a full-on trying to pass trans person.
Right.
And here's the thing. I'm making excuses, and by all means, feel free to contradict me. But he's never presented as a sex worker. Mm-hmm. He's never presented as someone who's trying to pass as a woman. He's never fully... I think he has he-him pronouns
mm-hmm.
the entire time.
Right.
And also, like, I don't want to put it's another time on it, but also, like, there was a period where, like... dudes being women was funny.
Well, and Dustin Hoffman was Tootsie, which was a movie about a man specifically dressing up as a woman to get into a position and then finding that women's lives are harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he had a deeper thought on it. This was the first time or only time, really, I ever heard that character actually voiced. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I never, like, had... I always thought it was a man's voice. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought... oh, this is a female presenting cockroach.
Yeah.
I don't think cockroaches got genders.
Right.
So they never did it with larger characters. They never did it with more substantial characters. You'll see that he only had two lines in this entire thing.
Right.
And for being as funny as he is as a character to me, like, very minor.
Yeah.
So unnatural. Like, that's what the rhetoric was towards trans people. So even if you look at it that way, like, there's nothing wrong with a penguin wanting to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Right.
You get to be whoever the hell you want to be.
Right.
I don't know. Do you have a commentary or you want to cut off all of that stuff if I said it wrong?
No, I'm always interested in your opinion on it. There's on these, that's a heady topic. And this is a cartoon and the only real difficulty was there was a proliferation and an acceptance of that lifestyle as being comedic. And I'm sure a lot of people that are in that situation where they every once in a while would like to dress in a gender that people don't see as their gender. They probably would like to be just accepted without the humor under it. But like there were so many more funny things to kind of pinpoint that as being like the undertone or the type of humor for the cartoon wouldn't hold up. Like it wasn't like it was all centered around homophobic humor.
Right.
So
it's like the one gayish joke.
Right.
Ish, maybe more queer than gay. And like I'm I'm thankful that we have your voice for that, because I don't, you know, there's no way to, like, there's no way to unpack it without making it f***ing unseemly for a 30-minute children's film.
Yeah.
Right.
Santa Claus was definitely my favorite part of this episode, I think.
Like,
gonna,
the yelling about him, you mean?
You're gonna keep all of that in.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep all of it in.
Oh, no.
Sheet music. Here we go.
We are going to be destroyed on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. Sorry.
By all five of our listeners.
Lydia,
the course of the next 2 years.
I was looking for positive, reinforcing Opus content, and they were talking about Nazis and transgenders. And they were just wheezing into their microphones half the time. Lydia, could you make a Sean's noise for us?
Sean Facts.
Sean Facts.
Berkeley Breathe also wrote 3 more books that were turned into films. Edward Fudwhopper Fibbed Big, which was a Nickelodeon movie in 2000. One was made into a motion capture film, Mars Needs Moms, Disney, 2011. I didn't know he did Mars Needs Moms. That's pretty cool.
I didn't think that was stop motion. Maybe I haven't.
No, motion capture. Another animated film, Hit Pig, which Breathe himself loosely adapted from his book Pete and Pickles, is currently in production at Anaventure for a 2022 release.
Hell yeah.
Nice timing, Naomi.
I never mean it.
He produced the cartoon art for the closing credits of the Texas-based 2003 film Secondhand Lions, which featured a strip called Walter and Jasmine. Bloom County earned Breathed the Pulitzer Prize for editorial cartooning. I think Lydia mentioned this earlier, during 1987, and Golden Duck Award for Excellence. I think it was while we were watching the movie, though, so we didn't really mention this before, did we?
No, we were watching it, and Naomi had said that there was an Oscar on his stand, and I was like, oh, okay. And so I checked the awards, and it was a Pulitzer Prize in 1987 was the earliest that he got.
Yeah, and Golden Duck Award for Excellence in Children's Science Fiction for Mars Needs Moms in 2008. I've got 2 more for you. The not as cool one, but is pretty cool.
All Sean facts are cool, Jen.
Opus appears on the label of Honest Tea's Peach Oola Long Tea.
I need that tea. Or does it not come out anymore?
I don't know. Honest Tea sounds like, I think I've seen them before.
Lately. Yeah, they're owned by a bigger company. I can't remember. I read their label once.
So there is a connection to an earlier movie.
No.
We always really love those, don't we?
We yes. really do. Like, the more movies we do and the fact that they're connected in any way makes me regret every moment I watch Bolero.
Is it connected to Bolero?
It's not connected to Bolero.
Shucks.
We have a community of creators that we review throughout our history of 3 years. Specifically, I believe Neil Gaiman, as well as Stephen Fry and some others, have a close connection with Douglas Adams. And that is true of, what's his name again?
Berkeley Breathed.
Berkeley Breathed. It's true. He's of connected Berkeley to. Breathed.
Wait, hold a second. What?
He was close friends with Douglas Adams. And because his Burke's wife and Douglas both were involved in the same wildlife fund, Diana Fossley's Gorilla Fund. So not only were they close friends, it was because of a good cause.
Plotters, you can't see Naomi's expression, but right now it is very shocked, but in a good way.
I love that so much. I mean, like, literally have a Douglas Adams tattoo. Like,
yeah.
Now you need an Opus tattoo or a Bill the Cat tattoo.
Hey, Liz, you want to get matching Bill the Cat tattoos? Because we both know that
Bill is the best.
I've actually thought about tattoos. So maybe.
Look, we get a small pile of money betwixt us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it happen.
It'll be like our own Shocked and Applaud thing. We'll all get Bill tattoos.
Jen doesn't do needles.
Oh, okay. Well, the two of us can do them.
We can get them on our ass. Because he's all about butts.
Tramp stamp of Bill the Cat.
Could you live with that? Okay, so we're Sean facted out, right?
We are Sean facted out.
Okay, so since I picked this one, I've decided already how we're going to do this.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate your shocked and applaud combined?
Oh, combined?
On a scale of 1 to 10, if you were like, this is strong, this is weak, blah, 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 what is your number?
They're very, my shocked and applaud kind of go together.
See, this is what I'm thinking. My plan is for us to go shocked and applaud together.
Okay.
So we just have to decide who's strongest, who's weakest.
I'm weakest.
Okay, so you'll go first. You'll have to do shocked and applaud in a row.
I would say I'm middle of the road.
I feel very strongly about mine. Yeah. So Jen, sorry, you're first on the shocking block. Clapping's at the end, Naomi. Okay, but yeah, I can't.
This might be our best episode.
Okay, Jen, please lead the way. You can do either one first or second, whatever one you feel.
I would say that it's not long enough, and I know that there's lots of decisions for that, but Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer's got to be at least 60 minutes. Or close to what 60 minutes would be on TV. So, but it got as much as like the Garfield Christmas thing, and I think that was 1987. So, sure. I think that if Amblin Entertainment had matured a little bit more and Spielberg had gotten his millions earlier, I think that they could have done something, but I'm just waiting for that movie that they said that it was, he said that was coming out in an interview.
Do you feel like Berkeley would have approved more if they'd given more time to it? Because certainly the art matches up with the cartoon. They could have made it more rich, I suppose, a la a Disney production, but like the hand-drawn stills and everything like that, because it's so early, like, if they had given it more time and more money, this could have lived up to the vision.
I think so. Maybe if they weren't in such a production rush. I think that the voice talent is spot on.
Spot on. That is Opus's voice to me to this very day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For a while, I thought it was Paul Simon. Sounds like Paul Simon.
Like Paul Simon. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I like it so much. You can call me Opus. Will you give me your applaud moment now, please?
Yeah. There's a very specific moment where my heart grows by three sizes when I see it. And that's when Bill gets recognition for his help. Because even though it was Opus that saved the day, the inspiration for Opus to save the day came from Bill. So you never know. That person that you might be knocking down today might have a heart of gold and save you tomorrow. That's it.
It's wonderful. I don't think that's small at all.
I don't think that's weak at all.
All right. That's me.
All right. So my literal shocked moment was when I went on to IMDb and I found that George was voiced by Robin Williams. Because yes. I was like, that has to be Robin Williams. And then I didn't see him in the credits. I was like, oh, maybe, you know, I hear Frank Welker is really good at like imitating voices. So maybe it's probably Frank Welker. Then I go to IMDb and I was like, here's Robin Williams. And I'm like, yes, this is so great. But that leads into my applaud moment, which is the voice acting in this is through the f-ing roof. And like, I mean, Tress MacNeille, like I said, was just such a staple. I mean, she has this like scraggly voice, but it could put me to sleep. Like, I mean, I think of Skinner's mom and I'm like, could only be voiced by Dot Warner. But just like, everything, like, I mean, the guy who does the voice for Opus, it fits so well. And there's a guy who does the voice for Bill, even though Bill doesn't really make any sense. Yeah.
Did we even discuss his hairball?
I don't think we did. But then you have the birds and yes. Just like everything kind of just comes together. And it's just this beautiful, like, melding of vocal work, and like I'm anticipating, I cannot wait for this movie to cut for the movie that they had talked about coming up, because I hope the voice acting is just like on point just as much.
On vocal acting, it's really hard to have dual sided characters. The fact that everyone in this is kind of gross or stupid or mean or jerk,
right?
is also kind of awesome and amazing and helpful.
Right.
Like the fact that they got duality in that.
Okay, there is a YouTuber called, the YouTuber is called ProZD. His name is Sun Wan. I don't know his last name. His first name is Sun Wan. Sung Wong. Sun.
S-U-N-G?
Yeah, Sun. Sun Wong.
S-U-N?
Sun Wan. Sun Wan, sorry.
That's okay. We're getting there.
Yeah, he has a whole, he does like these short videos. He's perfect for TikTok. But he does these short videos on YouTube, all of Vines and everything. And he does like just this wide range of voices. And he's an actual like voice actor. He's been in a bunch of different stuff I don't really know about. I only know him from YouTube and the stuff that he does on YouTube. But he's very good in the work that he does. And you do see like throughout like his YouTube videos, he does have like this wide range that he can go over and he can like do these different characters and everything. And so talking about like the depth that you mention, that's what it reminds me of, is just like being a voice actor is seen as like kind of the bottom of the barrel with acting.
I love voice actors so much.
Yeah, they can bring so much character with just a few different changes to their voice and everything. And it's such an art form. So
the voice of Opus, Michael Bell, if you look on IMDb, just about every entry he has is just various, which mm-hmm. means he is attacking the cast of like just so many different.
Who's that? I don't know. We should catch him. I don't know. Like, yeah. I just imagine him being whatever. I mean, the phrase jack of all trades and master of none mm-hmm. has a second part to it that I can never remember. You should Google it real fast. It'll break you, because for everyone who's dismissed themselves, and I am one of them, and I'm pretty sure everyone in this room is one of them too, especially the cat who can't do anything, you feel bad because you have not mastered a specific thing, right? But all of us are good at various, like, you're 90%, 85% on most things. Read it, Lydia. It makes you feel so much better.
A jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one.
Right? You're on a boat. It's sinking. You want a guy who can mend sails, or who can f***ing bail? You know what I mean? Maybe he can bail and he can repair a hole in the boat. I'd take a 90% hole in the boat repair and a guy who can bail over just having one guy who can sew a sail anytime. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Captain this, we're sinking.
It's like in the never-ending story when Atreyu comes to the first of the gates and he has to be confident. You're just barreling through that. You're trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Sphinx ladies are going to shoot lasers at you through their eyes. But it's you just got to run through it and then make a dive as soon as those lasers are going to be hitting you.
Yeah, you're not unconfident. You just don't want to get laser tittied to death. You ready for mine?
Yeah.
Mine are short and sweet, but can't be beat.
Nice.
My shocked moment is we have all pursued garbage birds for our happiness. At the beginning of the movie, Opus is chasing after these duck holes.
Seaholes.
Yeah. And he can't do what they do and he feels bad. He wasn't built for that, right?
Right.
He was never going to do that. And one of the things this movie, you have to give credit for, he doesn't get the magic fancy wish that he wants. As much as Santa might be a Nazi, his dream is fulfilled when the garbage birds finally step up. And I know they're garbage birds because my friend Tamara would back me up on that.
All right.
They're everywhere and they poop on everything and they steal your fish. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Right. But my applaud moment, because I like to keep my shocks and my applauds super short. You can review the podcast on any of the reviewing podcast things. My applaud moment is the garbage cats who truly have an understanding of our heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I've been married a long time. I have found my person and I'm very lucky for that. But we got together as children. And we have grown into adults together, and it's really great. One of the most powerful things is recognizing the absolute garbage person I was And not, I mean, like, garbage person, like, I was still, I had a lot of room to grow. I still have a lot of room to grow, but I thought I was so right then. And now that I know that I'm not right nearly as much as I ever thought I was, I can use the broken parts of me that light shine through to look at the person who is my person and be like, oh, these are the gorgeous parts about you. This is a more honest, more telling, more understanding love of you. And having gained that, I can apply that to everyone who I've decided to apply my affection to. Like, no one, I mean, I've said it to you early in this podcast. Hey, applauders, it's our third fucking year. You are neither a saint. You are not the devil. You're probably in between, and you're closer one way or the other, depending on who you're talking to. But the more rounded a person is, and the more that they love you, they're going to see you in a more true manner. Like, Opus, sure, rescued Bill from a science lab where his brain was turned into tater tots, mm-hmm. or traded for tater tots, I think he says. And yeah, Opus said garbage things to that cat who literally lives in garbage and smells like, I believe, last week's Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
But when Opus had his eyes open and turned and looked at him, he was like, oh, he recognized that he was a bit of garbage and could see Bill for being wonderful. And Bill, who was already garbage, knew that Opus was amazing. That's my applaud moment for a 23-minute Berkeley-breathed, disapproved cartoon movie from my very young youth.
Well, applauders, it's been a great 3 years. We're not telling you that we're leaving. We're going to do this as long as you let us, and don't write those horrible, nasty emails that you've never sent to us. I think you're pretty amazing for that. One of those well-rounded people for doing that. Look at you.
Yeah. Don't get bogged down with those earthbound, flightless bird blues. You got purpose that shines through every day.
You may not be able to fly through the air, but you can fly through icy water to save Nazi Santa.
Who didn't give Opus shit? He just inspired Bill to tell the seaholes to...
Okay. Do you know what kind of water walruses swim around in? So you applauders are people who we conned into coming into our home, and then we turned you into penguins, and then we sat you down.
If you'd like to know what Lydia's talking about, our first episode was on Tusk. And it was pretty good. Like, feel free to check it out. Or not. Like, just if you do to leave us a review, make it a good one. I mean, if you want.
Yeah.
Send us mean emails, but leave us good reviews.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about the mean emails on the podcast. Give us attention.
This guy says, I'm a Nazi Santa. And I'm like, nope, I'm a thick Nord who loves flightless birds. Applauders, thank you for joining us. We hope you have a fantastic August now that you've reached September. Thanks, Jen, for editing.
Here's to another 3 years of doing this.
Yes! Maybe we'll get to the movie you want. Let us know what that one is, because this was mine.
Until next time, this is Lydia Malcolm.
This is Jen McQuaid.
And this is Naomi McQuaid.
And this has been Shocked.
This has been Shocked and Applaud?
It still is Shocked and Applaud.
And it still will be Shocked and Applaud.
Congratulations, applauder. You've now completed our month-long discussion on 1991's Opus and Bill in A Wish for Wings That Work. We hope you've enjoyed dashing through the winter wonderland of our rant-filled scene walkthroughs, laughing all the way to Sean Facts, and caroling along to our shocked and applaudable moments. Have some room left over for some non-film topics from our closest friends? Reverie True Crime Podcast has just released a true tale of child abduction. And Hush Hush Conspiracy Hour recently released their 2-year anniversary debriefing. These impressive Fact Finder episodes are linked in this release's description. Hey, This is your audio engineer and podcast producer who claims to know how to count on her fingers, but told you it was a 3-year anniversary this month when it was actually the 4th, Jen. If you ever find yourself yelling at your phone or computer when we really just get things wrong, I have some great news. We're on social media. Tag us in a message using @ShockedApplaud on Twitter or Instagram, or @ShockedAndApplaud on Facebook, to let us know about those details we missed or just got wrong. We'll be taking a short break, and we'll be back September 6th for a very special episode for you next month. And we'll be bringing Sean from Sean Facts into our basement studio for the entirety of September's episode. We're really excited to hear his comments on a film premiere in Seattle that we were invited to attend this month, and we think it's really going to be a great discussion. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay! Yay!
Reels of Justice with Sean.
Yeah, listen to that. It's going to be
Spice
amazing.
Spice World.
Spice World? That's a spoiler.
Spice World.
Spice World.
It's going to be amazing.
We're going to give you what you want, what you really want.
Thank you, because I completely had no Spice Girl songs in my head.
You're going to be uncomfortable with how much Sean knows about Spice Girls.
I'm going to love it. I will bask in it and bathe into it. I will dive headfirst into it as Opus dived headfirst.
You came into the love of Spice World, but I was born into it.
Zigga zigga.
Done.